You're listening to TCRG to CEO Radio with your host, Courtney J, TCRG.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TCRG to CEO Radio. As always, I'm your host, Courtney J, TCRG, coming at you from Connecticut in the United States. I hope everyone is healthy and well. All of your loved ones, family, friends are also well. And I hope that this time has been exactly what you need, whatever that might be. I know it's been a while since we've had an episode, and I'll get into that in a little bit, but I'm happy to be recording this episode. It's been one that has been on my list probably for 2 months now, but quarantine, or whatever you want to call this time, has certainly been a lot more busy, stressful, and hectic than I originally envisioned. So I'm glad that I'm able to sit down and record it for you now, and I hope you find it helpful. Here in Connecticut, all of the non-essential businesses have been closed since March 16th. The last day that I taught classes in our studio was March 13th. And even in those 3 days, everything just seemed to change so fast. The perception and people's understanding and feelings about coronavirus drastically changed. Overnight, schools were closed, and it just was a very hectic, busy time. I personally transitioned very quickly to online teaching. A lot of you were at Allison and I's webinar so that you guys could learn how to do it too. And we have been on Skolarenka Zoom, as I've been saying, since March 23rd. So it has been a full 2 months of Zoom now. And for me, as I'm sure most of you can say the same, every day, every week has its ups and its downs. I, just like all of you, miss my students. I miss being able to teach in person. I have anxiety over just about everything, you know, the state of the world, going to the grocery store, whether my, you know, business can weather this storm, all of those things. And a lot of days I find myself just very exhausted. I don't know whether any of you guys have also read this article about why Zoom is so exhausting, but I know for me, I'm teaching anywhere from 3 or 4 hours a day to as many as 6 hours a day on Zoom. And I find it very difficult to do anything else after I'm done teaching. I find it really hard to sit and stare at my computer screen for that long. And even though I usually spend my morning, early afternoon time, usually from about 8:30 to 1 on my computer doing, you know, administrative, marketing, you know, all the other business tasks, now adding another 4 hours on average to sitting at the computer screen at night has definitely taken its toll on me, my eyes, my head. I know a lot of my students have told me that they have a lot more headaches, people experiencing migraines, and I'm sure all of us can relate. It's definitely not ideal to be looking at a computer screen for just so many hours a day. So I feel like I've been chasing a constantly moving target, whether it's trying to adapt every week to what's going on, whether it's trying to plan ahead as best as I can for something that honestly, we don't really have a timeline to plan for. We also, at least in my state, we don't know when our reopening might be. We don't know what the restrictions might be when we can reopen. So it makes planning extremely challenging. And it seems like I have to have, you know, about 10 different options at the ready. And depending on which one best fits the next, you know, phase or next scenario is the one that's lined up and ready to go. So it's been an interesting time, to say the least. And my heart goes out to all of the teachers, whether you're a school teacher, a dance teacher, any kind of teacher. I just want to give you a round of applause. And just like I said, I know our students are very grateful for the continuity, the normalcy, the escape from everything that's going on through classes. And even though it's hard as teachers, I want to let you know that it is worth it and you are making a difference. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. So anyway, that was my little coronavirus confessional. I also wanted to say that if you're finding Zoom not working for you, whether it's because your students aren't engaging with it, or you just find it exhausting to the point where it's not worth it, or maybe you have a family and young kids that really need a lot of your help during the day on top of, you know, teaching and trying to work, there are other options available. And as someone who's on my region's reopening / crisis committee, I do have some resources that I will share in our private Facebook group for listeners. You can find the link in the show notes, and we'd love to have you there. There are ways that you can set up things without having to do live all the time. Or with summer coming up, maybe it's practical for you to do a mix of pre-recording and live lessons. And I'd love to share some resources for that as well. As I look around our Irish dancing community, teachers all have made the best of this, it looks like. There have been some really fun ideas and challenges going around. If you're like me and you tend to fall into the comparison trap, sometimes I feel like I'm not doing enough, even though I feel like I'm doing everything that I possibly can. I also try and keep in perspective that the core, the core pieces of my program, right, are getting kids engaging with their dance classes. And as much fun as some of the flashy extras are, they aren't life or death in the grand scheme of things. But for those of you that are able to keep your core programs going and have all these extra fun things going on, I applaud you, because it is very hard to keep it all going. And we're all doing as much as we can to keep our students engaged and keep Irish dancing alive, of course. So I'd like to get into some of my more organized thoughts about kind of the impact so far that this has had, kind of where we are in the now, and then what the lingering impact of this might be as we go forward. So I want to disclose that I'm coming at this from a place of a little bit of, I guess, business privilege. And what I mean by that is I am fortunate enough to have a cash flow positive business with savings. I did not feel the need to apply for loans through the Small Business Administration or Paycheck or Payroll Protection Program, because I didn't need the life vest right away, so to speak. And it was important to me to make that available for people that really, really did need it. So I really have a lot of empathy and commiserate for others that have either felt pressure to close, either because of landlord inflexibility or just not being able to have time to make these adaptations. People that needed to temporarily close due to overwhelming demands at home, things like that. So if anything that I mentioned during this segment just does not seem relevant, or you're not able to relate to it, it's just because it hasn't been my experience. And I think it's important for listeners, especially listeners that are parents or students, to understand that this is a time where small businesses really are struggling. The struggle for some is very, very real. I'm part of the Facebook group for teachers that, I mean, some of the stories in there are heartbreaking on people that really they can't pay their rent. And obviously these are buildings that are sitting completely empty because landlords just aren't able to cut them the break. And obviously for a lot of people, they've lost jobs. They're either fully unemployed, or they've been furloughed, or they have reduced hours, things like that. And it's just a really tough time for everybody. So I think the best thing we can all do is just be kind to one another. I think this time really has helped me be a little bit more empathetic towards others. and just be generally more appreciative of the good things in life, what I'm grateful for, things like that. So for most of us, the now currently still sits at no in-person classes. There are some regions around the world or within the United States that are starting to reopen a bit. I know that for most studios, the reality is that you have had some withdrawals. Maybe your student engagement is lower. If you're doing Zoom classes, maybe that means that, you know, a class of 10 might only have, you know, 5, 6, 7 kids showing up to a Zoom class. And for some families, it's the lack of resources. Like, let's just say they have 3 kids, but 1 tablet, like it just might not be feasible for them to attend a live lesson. Everybody's situation is a little bit different. For other kids, it's just hard for them to engage in the online class setting. It's definitely a different vibe, obviously, from being in class with their friends, and being able to kind of learn off one another. And that's something that within my own classes, it's become very apparent to me which kids do rely heavily on others, either to receive cues on what they should be doing, receive cues on when they should be starting to dance. There are kids that I was confident could count themselves in, and now without everyone else in the room, suddenly they can't. So it's made me, I guess, a little bit more aware of those types of things as a teacher. And that's something that I can continue to help my students improve on when we do return to the studio. So there are certainly some positives that have come out of this teaching online experience, but it is hard for some kids to engage or to feel motivated. So I think it's important as teachers for us to understand that. And obviously we're doing our best to keep that engagement up. But ultimately, teachers' bottom lines, studio owners' bottom lines have undoubtedly been impacted by this over the last few months. I know for me, at this time of year, we'd have some summer camp deposits coming through. Summer is a particularly precarious time for some studios anyway, as a lot of us kind of need that break during the summer. Maybe you run some intensives, maybe you run some workshops or camps, and I'm sure there are some studio owners out there that are wondering how they're going to make it work over the summer. We also have students that might have been engaging just fine in your online classes, but they're also really looking forward to their academic year being finished, their, you know, dance classes finishing for the semester. And you might have some that are just zoomed out, that are really interested in dancing, are committed even, and they're just zoomed out. So it's a very, very difficult time, needless to say. So in the now, most places are either starting to reopen or the reopening phases are starting to come closer, starting to feel a little bit more real. And some things that I figured I would discuss as far as considerations that you might want to be making for reopening your studio are obviously having a sanitation, protocol for both your facility. Whether you have your own facility, you'll need to come up with systems to make sure that there is increased cleaning going on, increased disinfecting going on, identifying what those high contact points of your studio are. You might need to consider, keeping students off the ground. I know for us, we have, stretches happening on the ground. We have yoga mats that the kids had shared, and a lot of that is just going to have to change. Obviously, hand sanitizing or hand washing, either on regular intervals or entry and exit, are all the most important things that we can be doing to keep students safe as we start to return to in-person lessons. I undoubtedly going to have smaller class sizes. Most of us are most comfortable, and it's safest for our students for our classes to be happening indoors. As modern day studio owners and teachers, we know the importance of having, you know, good flooring, whether it's, you know, proper sprung flooring or at least not dancing directly over concrete. So if we're keeping our classes indoors, we're going to have smaller class sizes, which might impact your scheduling. You might have to make more classes to accommodate smaller numbers, varying up or staggering your class times, possibly alternating weeks so that half your class is on site at the studio while the other goes virtual for the week. There's lots of different ways to manage your numbers, and it's just a matter of what's going to work for the capacity that you have for your location, what your studio community feels safe about, etc. For those smaller numbers within the class, obviously physical distancing is going to still be important. It's going to be important for a while until people feel more comfortable, and that comfort level is highly individual and will also be on different timelines compared to you know, what the infection rate is in your location. So there will need to be either floor markers or ways to separate students within your room, and that might impact how you run your classes. For example, you might be used to, you know, running steps a certain way within your studio with your championship class, for example. Maybe it's not possible to have two dancers dancing at a time, or maybe it's not possible to run drills a certain way. So we'll have to adapt how we use our class space as we move into in-person classes again. I know for me, I plan to close our waiting area. This is partially to reduce the number of people in our building. I'm expecting our indoor gatherings to be limited to maybe 10 people at the beginning. So if we can have a class of, you know, 9 kids plus myself versus having 5 kids and 5 parents hanging out in the waiting room, that's obviously ideal for efficiency. It also means that there's less surfaces being touched, etc., within the studio. So that's something you can implement. If you like sublet a space or if you rent from someone else, it's important to find out if they have any additional protocols for you or if they are taking care of any kind of cleaning or sanitizing for you. That might end up being a perk of you know, renting from, say, a church basement or something like that. You might consider other, I guess, more, I'm going to say invasive just because it's something that I think is a little bit more controversial or polarizing, I guess, in people's opinion about it. There are businesses that are implementing, you know, temperature checks using a no-contact temporal thermometer. Now we know, as we've been in this, you know, 2-month lockdown period, that scientists and disease experts have studied this, and they have learned that a lot of people will carry COVID without showing any symptoms, which means they might be carrying it but not have a fever. So in some ways, this might make temperature checks irrelevant, because obviously someone could be carrying it but not actually have a fever. However, one could also argue that if someone does have a slight fever but they don't feel sick yet, if you're able to prevent them from coming in, then maybe you're you know, preventing the spread within your class or your studio. The other controversial item is mask wearing. I've done a lot of research on mask wearing for physical activity, and the research is overwhelmingly that it's hard to do so. Then you take into account, obviously, kids that have respiratory issues or asthma. Never mind that Irish dance is an anaerobic activity to begin with. As we all know, doing a full treble jig, like, you can barely breathe as it is. So having to wear a mask while doing so seems like mission impossible. There might be a happy medium that you strike within your studio where students need to wear masks coming to and from classes, or maybe they can take their mask off when they are dancing, but they need to wear it other times. You might also have the perspective that if people need to wear masks, then it's not safe yet to return, and that's okay too. I think another important layer to this is that we all have the authority and the boundary setting capabilities to decide what way we want to handle this for ourselves and for our business. There may be studio owners out there that your state might say it's safe to reopen, but instead of being around, virus carrying germy children, you might, value seeing your parents that are in their 60s and 70s more. And that's okay. Everyone also had the authority and autonomy to set their own boundaries around who they were willing to see during this time. Some people were very, very strict and they just stuck to their household. They, didn't leave unless it was to go grocery shopping, if at all. Others were okay to go grocery shopping or walk on outdoor trails or, do a social distance, picnic outside with friends. And I am all for everybody setting the boundaries that are right for themselves and their own risk factors. But as business owners, it'll be important to have a little bit of a balance between all of the above. And it's a very hard balance to strike. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, I think we're all right there with you for sure. Something that I've done, and I would highly recommend other studio owners to do as well, is to talk to their dance families through a questionnaire, or if you have a private Facebook group, sharing a post in there about what their safety indicators are for returning to in-person classes, or what safety measures they feel are important to include in your reopening plan. Obviously, we are not capable of making everyone happy. It doesn't matter what the topic is. You will never make all of your customers happy. But the general trend of the responses you receive should give you a pretty good idea of how your studio community feels. So I know some people feel nervous or scared to kind of put the question out to their studio community because they're afraid to get negative feedback, or they're afraid to kind of dive deep into what people want, or they're afraid that it opens the door for people feeling disappointed if their voice isn't the one that's kind of chosen. But don't be afraid to ask your families, because they will tell you what their thoughts are, and it'll save you from having to make assumptions. So asking your studio community is a great thing to do if you haven't already. The other thing that I know some people are going to just sigh with dread is that once we return to in-person classes, online classes are not going to just go away. And I say that because there are going to be students that have grandparents at home or are immunocompromised in some way, or their family just might not feel comfortable going back to class yet. And instead of kind of shutting them out and making them feel like they can no longer take part because it's back in person, having some kind of online option for them to continue when you transition back to the studio would be a great way to retain those students. There's a different way to make this happen, and you're free to make it, make a decision that works best for your class structure and, how many students will be utilizing it. But that's another thing to include in your survey or questionnaire, is just when they might feel comfortable coming back, or if you offered in-person and online, which option are they more likely to choose? So I know a lot of us are just ready to say goodbye to Zoom, goodbye to online classes, but the reality is that that's probably not going to happen for a while yet. Another thing I haven't touched on yet was kind of the liability that you have as a business and the potential for an outbreak to be traced back to your studio, and finding a way to incorporate it into your registration agreement or your waivers that students are attending your classes at their own risk, that your studio is taking, you know, health and safety seriously, but, you know, you can't be held responsible for, you know, highly infectious disease, things like that, being picked up at your studio. And the best way to do this is to, you know, seek legal advice or even from your insurance company on how you can word this and incorporate it into your contracts. But it's another thing to consider, because I know that for a lot of businesses right now, there is a fear that somebody could come back and try to pin the liability on the business for holding classes, or, you know, having that be where someone was exposed. And obviously the guilt and the all that is enough. Never mind like having to go through a lawsuit or something during this time. That would be awful. So my advice would be to protect yourself ahead of time. And going along with that, another big change that will be happening at my studio is around sickness and absences. As someone who does run a lot of competitive programs, where we've always felt that attendance is obviously the most crucial and critical component to success, this has kind of brought to light the importance of also making sure that people that are sick or are exposed to someone who is sick, whether it's COVID or something else, really should stay out of the studio. And this is something where, especially like in teams, for example, you know, if someone was feeling acutely ill, we would encourage them to sit and watch instead of miss entirely. And this is another reason why having an online program running side by side to your in-person offerings would be great, because at least for me, we will not be allowing, you know, sick students or even those who have a sick family member to attend class, to protect the rest of the studio community and studio population, as well as their families. So you might want to take a look at your current policy around that and see if anything needs to change in that regard. So now that we've kind of gone through some reopening ideas or suggestions, things to think about, my next section is just kind of thinking out loud about what the future holds and how our future may change as a result of all this happening. There's still so much uncertainty. You know, a lot of even just the way we've thought, you know, take my absence example, you know, having a policy like that, you know, our before policy almost sounds crazy given the current circumstances, where it wasn't that crazy, you know, 3 months ago. It's just the world has changed a lot within that short period of time. And I know going forward, you know, I have students that are really, really, really hoping that Aroctus is going to go ahead, with, you know, Worlds and Nationals being canceled, all of our Fashiona being canceled for the foreseeable future. And I think in order to make an Aroctus or any kind of large gathering happen and have people feel confident about going at this point, it won't happen without some major changes, whether it's borrowing the example from other sporting events where maybe the competitors are the only ones within the arena, so to speak, meaning, you know, there's no spectators within the competition area. And that would take a huge shift from our Irish dance community. It would have to include a shift of allowing, you know, the competition to be live streamed, because these dancers have parents that have worked hard to help their dancer, you know, get to the stage, whether it's financially, emotionally, you know, all of that. They want to be able to see their child dance. But if we're weighing up having no Aroctus at all versus having an Aroctus with no spectators, to me, it's worth being a little bit more open-minded about how we approach this, and maybe changing some of the things that we had previously disallowed in order to make that happen. because the danger that I see is that if we stay close-minded or we stay too stuck to the way things have always been, that we're really in danger of shutting out those that are currently engaged. For example, I have a lot of students that are going to be high school seniors next year, and if Oireachtas were not to happen, I think there would be a sharp drop-off pretty much immediately, which obviously has a huge impact on the business, the greater Irish dance community, engagement with Irish dance, all of that. So it's something that I think we need to make sure we're not making short-sighted decisions about as well. I also wonder about what distance learning might look like long-term for Irish dancing. I don't foresee a lot of the higher-ups allowing it to continue, but it does open the door to what it might look like for college students, maybe students that previously would have felt pressure to change schools because they're going to college far away, or maybe they're, you know, not even college students, just students that are living in areas where there just isn't a local Irish dance option. I think this distance learning is a great way to reach those areas. And it just will come down to how our organization wants to manage that, and how managing that can impact whether or not it's efficient, effective, etc. A more maybe controversial topic would be how online learning may allow dancers who want to dance at a particular school but will never be in that geographic location to access those classes. Again, it's not something that I think our organization will allow. However, it has kind of made me wonder about that. I don't know how anyone else feels about it, whether you're for it, against it, ambivalent. It's one of those questions that when I post this episode in our private Facebook group, I'd love to know your thoughts about it. 'Cause, you know, in other sports, moving to be at a certain club or train with a certain coach is a very real thing. And we don't see it too often in the Irish dance world. We have seen it before. But classes being accessible online are a potential game changer to that. It just depends what our community at large wants to do with that. Many of you might know that teachers and like teacher regional meetings and CLRG meetings online have now become the norm. I, for one, am happy about that. It's something that our region had talked about for years but hadn't implemented until this happened. I think it just makes it a little bit easier for people that find it hard to gather in one location or, you know, need childcare or pet care or whatever. To be able to participate in meetings. I think it will cut down on some of the expenses that we have sending representatives to CLRG meetings in Ireland. So that's something that I would like to see continue personally. And I'm sure there are even more things that maybe you've thought of or that I just hadn't even written down on my list but have pondered during this time. So, like I said, just thinking about loud, trying to, you know, predict what the future of our sport might be. And I'd love to hear your thoughts as well. So I will definitely ask for them in the private Facebook community. So once again, I apologize for being a little bit quiet on releasing new podcast episodes and posting on my Instagram. It's at CourtneyJ_TCRG. I used to be incredibly active on my Instagram, and it was something that I really was hoping to get back to during this quarantine time. But as I mentioned at the top of the episode, this has been anything but a relaxing time for me. It has been anything but quiet time of self-discovery. There are days where I will just cry at anything. And that's just the release of anxiety, the release of stress, the release of Overwhelm, I guess. And I know many of us can relate. It doesn't even matter if you're an Irish dance teacher, a studio owner. Everybody is having stress and anxiety, and it manifests in very different ways for all of us. And regardless of whether I'm active on my account, you know, on a daily, weekly basis or not, I do want all of you to know that I am here for you. For me, I find that pouring into others is a good way for me to channel my anxious energy and things like that. So please don't hesitate to send me a message or reach out if you need anything, whether it's something related to your studio or your business or teaching or anything of that nature. I'm here for everyone, and I know that we have a great community of support out there. So I hope this episode has been helpful for you. I may do another episode related to teaching, or I'd love to know what other types of episodes you guys want to hear soon. So I will see you next time, or I guess you'll hear me next time. I guess I'll see you on Instagram or in the Facebook group. I hope you have a great rest of your week, your weekend, your evening, whenever you're listening to this. And most importantly, stay healthy and well, everyone. Bye.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on TCRG to CEO Radio.